we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here.
Alrighty, guys. I'm here with a real special guest today. Super excited. Over in Arizona, he owns CEO of Volition Training, Derek Arellano. I'd butcher that for sure.
No,
hey, I can't roll my R's, man.
Dude, it's hard. I like to say there's two ways. There's the right way and there's the white way.
Yeah. I got a buddy. He's like his name's Alberto. He's like to my black friends, my name is Berto. He's like to my white friends, my name is Alberto. He's like to my Hispanic friends, it's like Alberto blah, 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 like goes on to his full like his full name.
I totally get it, man. Especially in Arizona, the Hispanic people would be quick to correct you, and it's embarrassing because I'm like Arellano, and they're like Arellano. I'm like yes, I know my last name. I promise.
Like I've been using it my whole life. I've got it down. So man, I kind of want to talk about your background a little bit. Basically go from how, because I know you were in the military, you were in the National Guard?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And then fast forward, now you are the owner of a gym. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just looking online, it's a kind of different style of gym. It feels like you have a really good community atmosphere and you guys do a lot of like group stuff. So very interested to see how all that progressed. But I guess, what did you do in the military? You worked with helicopters?
Yeah. I was a Yankee. I was an X-rated Yankee, 15. So 15 X-ray. Right when I got to, it was just one of those scenarios, man. You get sold the job, you know, when you get recruited.
Yep.
And then you get in and then you realize, oh, okay, that's not a job anymore. And so I got recruited on one of the older model of Apaches. And I was quite literally the last class to roll through on the X-ray. So I had to go back within a year for another 3 months. You're talking about a 10-month course too. So I did a 10-month course.
Is that pilot? You were piloting them?
That was armament repair.
Okay. So you're repairing Apaches.
The weapon systems, flight systems, and then electrical systems.
Okay. How was that whole process, man? Because I was a medic. My AT was only 4 weeks. It's a lot easier to fix a body, I guess, than an Apache.
Weird how that works, right? Weird how that works. You know, honestly, what's funny about it is I never even thought I had a career path in the military. I had my best friend at the time. He had some limited options, but he brought it up to me because he knew that I was kind of open-ended on what I wanted to do after high school. Knew I wanted to do the college route, but wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And he told me about the Guard and he was like, hey man, this could be kind of cool. Like, what if we did it together? And he just kind of put the bird in my ear. And I talked to a recruiter and he took the ASVAB and he was like, yeah, man, I mean, you can kind of do whatever the hell you want to do, honestly, with the way you scored. I think I got like an 85% or something like that. Nothing crazy, but you know how it is. You get like above a 70 and the Army opens up all the for you, you know. And so
they give you a crayon and they're like, oh, he didn't eat it, all right, you can do anything you want.
Seriously, the unfortunate part is my buddy didn't do it as well and he wanted to kind of go back, took some extra time, and by that time I was kind of already bought in, and they're like, well, for your college, if you do go the Guard route, you know, you can stay close to home. My biggest deal was if I was going to join, I really wanted to deploy. I kind of wanted, you know, if I'm going to do it, you know, I want to do it all the way, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend all that time and then not, you know, reap the benefits, if you will, or, you know, just basically live it to the fullest extent. And so, they basically told me, I'm like, hey, I'm looking at about, I think it was roughly, 10. Yeah. It was like 10 months. It was 13 months total. So I hit boot camp right after I graduated. Shortly after that, took a bus up to Virginia. And then, yeah, I spent my first 10 months in the military just in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Oh,
learning an obsolete aircraft. So we quite literally walked in the door our first day and he was like, welcome, you are the last class on the X-ray. Or it was like I think it was Apache 2, it was right before Boeing came out with the newest model. And he's like, you guys will be the last X-rays to ever exist. He's like, yeah, so I look forward to seeing you after this course. And then, you know, for another 3-month course. That was a great way to start.
What year was that? When did you join?
That was going to be 2000. So I was a, what they call it, delayed entry. So I jumped in actually 2008 and then finally hit boot camp 2009. So when I went to boot camp, I was like, you know, I was like high speed without ROTC, you know, kids that knew everything. I actually just went to my once a month starting in August of 2008. And I got basically 10 months of, you know, once a month training. They basically prep you for boot camp, which was a godsend for me because when I got there, I knew all the things I needed to know. You know, I fell in line. I just, you know, they just really prepared you for it. So it was a great way to start. So I just didn't get my ass ate the day I walked into boot camp, you know? So, then we hit school. You know, boot camp was definitely boot camp. It was the summer season. So everyone and their mom, you know, graduated and was in boot camp with me over there in South Carolina, Fort Jackson. And like I said, after that, took a bus up to Virginia, man, and spent 10 months in the school there before I actually got to my unit in Arizona. And then shortly after that, it was about 6 months after that, I went back to Virginia in the winter for another 3 months to finish my what would be 15 Yankee school. And then, I was finally working on the aircraft out here in Arizona.
So that's cool. So especially in the Guard, so you're able to kind of work on your civilian side and then, you know, do the military and have the kind of benefits of both worlds. And I did the reserves after active duty and, you know, it was cool. It was nice being able to kind of, you know, have that regiment still and have that, you know, have that military aspect as a part of your life still and a good transition out for me, especially.
So. Yeah, it was great for me. Cause I just, again, I like wasn't sold in any direction yet. I was like, kind of just like, well, I could kind of get, you know, the experience that I wanted out of this while still paying for school. And like I said, hopefully kind of deploy, right? And, you know, like all things, they never goes as planned. We were actually set to deploy in 2012. During that time, I was, I spent some different time doing active duty when it came to training, schooling, spent some time at Fort Hood one time with our unit for a summer out there for some more training. Cause you know, in the Guard, you just don't get a lot of hands-on time. And when you're working on aircraft, man, it's like, if you're not touching it, you're forgetting everything. Like, it's so labor intensive, especially when it comes to electronic. It was basically electrical engineering. I mean, that's pretty much what they're teaching you. And so if you weren't touching it, you were forgetting it. And every time you got on the bird, you would just get your ass chewed out because you were doing the next wrong thing, you know? So you know, I got to spend a lot of time doing that. I actually spent 9 months on the border during that time as well, which was pretty cool and definitely different. So that was some active duty time. And during that time, man, they kept promising us a deployment. And then finally that 2012 order came through when Obama's president and they were just cutting everything. And of course, you know, and when cuts start, they don't start with active duty. They start with reserves. So we were like the first ones cut. And so I never got the chance to deploy, which was, man, we were lined up. We should have known because we were doing like a pre-gree training, which like nobody does. But because we were a guard, they were trying to give us some more extra hands-on training time. So after that time in Fort Hood, we actually went up north here to Flagstaff, which is like 2.5 hours north. We did some more green training for that. And we were set to go back to Fort Hood, I believe it was Fort Hood, for our pre-deployment. And then literally 1 week into that 2-week stint, they all told us it wasn't happening. We're all going back home. I mean, I'm telling you, I sold a vehicle. I had like my rent taken care of. I had someone subleasing my place. Like it was all set up, man. And they were just like, never mind, guys, we're not going. It was, it was brutal. And then, like I said, right after that, I just, an opportunity came up for border, we got to work on the border with the border patrol agents. And so I had to take that opportunity. They were paying, man, they were paying great money. That was part of the, that was most of it. They were just like, hey, we're going to give you active duty pay, plus, you know, you basically get an apartment and everything on the border.
Oh, wow.
You get weapons, everything like that. And I spent 9 months on the border working with, in conjunction with Border Patrol, just, we were basically spotters, you know, we're not allowed to intervene or anything like that. But
so you weren't working on helicopters. You were like pulling guard, essentially.
Yeah. Essentially, guard is the best way. We were quite literally spotters. We had night vision goggles. We had 24-hour shifts, and our goal was just to catch as many people we could see coming to the border as possible.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. So I didn't realize that the military was involved or had any involvement back then.
Yeah, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona will run, depending on Border Patrol and how much availability they have, and obviously how much traffic is coming across. They will, you know, enlist some active duty time for like a lot of reserve members to basically work in conjunction. We're just basically extra hands on deck, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're, I mean, to treat it as active duty, we technically get hazard pay. You know, we're out, every time we're out of the truck, you know, you're in full armor, you got your M16 on you, you know, you're, it's as real as it gets without really feeling any danger whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting on top of a hill scoping, essentially. So, but it was a great experience, man. It was one of those deals where I'll never regret doing it. It was just one of those opportunities where it's like, when it was said and done, I was like, I should have just went active duty, man. Cause if I went active duty, I would have deployed within, you know, within the first year. Because it was still pretty hot and heavy when I first jumped in. But yeah, it was a great experience. I loved it. I definitely attribute a lot of my leadership and motivation to work for myself, actually, to come from the military, which is funny in a way, because you get so used to taking orders. You think that you just kind of fall into a job that you start taking orders, but I went the opposite route. I was like, I don't want to take orders anymore. I want to do it my way.
Yeah, you know? That's me too. So did you have entrepreneurship in your family at all, or was it, did it kind of just happen after, like, I'm sure you tried different jobs maybe, or did different things. What kind of got you towards, you know, that entrepreneurial mindset?
Honestly, it was kind of just a belief in myself. My parents, I grew up very, you know, very work ethic driven. My parents both worked to help us, you know, survive. Both parents worked. My dad worked his way up from the ground level of you're in Texas, right? You said so.
Yeah.
Are you close to Quick Trips at all?
The gas station.
Yeah. So my dad was on the ground floor with that company in Atlanta when they broke ground in Atlanta out there, and he walked through the doors as an assistant, and he was able to work his way up all the way into a division sales manager, which is like the number two position in a division. And they only have six divisions total. So it's a pretty, pretty cool, pretty sweet position, and definitely in like that higher echelon. And so being raised by someone like that, who had multiple jobs and multiple careers and actually found one and worked his way kind of through the ladder, if you will, really kind of emboldened my ability to work. Mm-hmm. But honestly, man, going through high school, I did all the honors, did all the APs, took all the tests, had all the credits. You know, I went to the military. They would have paid for, you know, college and things like that. But I started doing the college thing, and I was just not, not for me, man. Like, I didn't really care. Part of it was the direction. Didn't have 100% direction where I wanted to go, but I was just done. I think with the military too, I was done taking tests. I was done learning stuff. I wanted to start doing things. Funny enough, I started working for Quick Trip myself when I was 16. So I was actually able to hold that job. They're an amazing company to work for. And I was actually able to go on leave from that job anytime I did any type of military involvement.
Yeah.
I was able to take leave. So boot camp, AIT, any type of active duty, I was actually able to just basically go on a leave, which didn't disrupt any of my benefits, didn't disrupt any of my employment, things like that. And so I was able to always fall back on QT, But after being in for about, what was it, 2019? So after being in almost like 13 years, rewind a little bit, probably around like year 9 or 10, I was like, I gotta do something, dude. I'm gonna end up being stuck here. Yeah. In a great company, but not where I wanted to be. And so I was just trying to think, like, what the hell can I do for a living? Because I really didn't have much of a direction. I always kind of liked business, liked the marketing side of things, different stuff like that, but nothing ever stick. And I started working out really heavily, obviously through the Army and things like that. And I just kind of fell in love with the gym because I didn't really have anything else to do but to work out and then just party with my friends. I mean, where everyone else was in college, I lived with a bunch of kids that were in college. And so I got to kind of live that college lifestyle while working a full-time job. One of my buddies who was there was a business major, and he worked out a lot. And he was like, "Hey, man, you spend most of your time in the gym. Have you ever thought about competing?" And I was like, not really. He's like, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you, dude." He's like, "You live the lifestyle of a competitor." He's like, "Why don't you give it a shot?" And so I signed up for a bodybuilding competition, did it. During that time, I had more and more people kind of hit me up. "Hey, what are you doing? You know, how are you doing it? You know, what are you taking? You know, what supplements are you doing? How many days a week are you working out?" You know, different things like that. And, you know, I did pretty well. I got first place in the first competition that I did. Like a little local show, nothing crazy, but, you know, it was kind of like, "Oh, okay, cool. Like, this is interesting. Like, I enjoyed it. Had a good
time."
You
get paid for something like that? Like, is that okay.
I wish, dude. I wish. No, that was like, that's like when you do a local bodybuilding show, that's like you sign up, you're paying. It's kind of like you got to work your way up a little bit. You'll go through like a state local show. Once you qualify for nationals there, you get into a national competition. Once you win national shows and you go pro, that's when the money starts coming in. So I signed up for a few more shows. My buddy was like, "Hey, listen, I started this little gym out of my apartment complex. You know, it'd be great if you could come by and help us out with some group classes and some personal training. You know, if you like it, maybe there's something there." So I spent 6 months working with him. You know, we'd go on the weekends and just kind of hold boot camps and just interact with different people that would come through and check it out. And me and his then girlfriend, now wife, just basically started hanging out more and more. And when April of 2016 came along, he was like, "Hey, man, we've been doing really well. I want to open up a little bit of a little gym. It's like 1,200 square foot. How would you feel jumping on as one of our personal trainers?" He's like, "Let's try and fill your books and see if we can't get you to quit your job." And I was like, "Yeah, dude, I would love to."
I'm down.
Gym all day long. That sounds amazing, you know? Because as like a kid, I would read like Muscle and Fitness magazine and, you know, start working out in the gym in high school. And, you know, but back then, dude, like the idea of being a personal trainer, it's like that's just not a thing. Like growing up, like people were not doing that. Nowadays, it's like everyone and their mom's a trainer online or, you know, at a gym or whatever. But back in then, it wasn't a thing. And so I was like, sure, why not? So I would get off work around 2 p.m., I'd be over at their gym. I'd find some time to work out in between then, and I would have my clients in the evening, man. So I would take clients from roughly 3 p.m. to, you know, 7 or 8 p.m. at night. And so I just slowly started building a book of clients. And with that, we just started slowly building a business, man. So I helped them build a business. We went from 1,200 square feet to 5,000 square feet to 11,000 square feet, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty much all on our own.
And that was that Volition the whole time? Was that?
No, that was my buddy's company. Yeah. And at the time. And so kind of how I evolved to my own company was we were working very closely together for the longest time. And, you know, if you've ever been in a partnership, you probably understand that it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. And over time, I kind of was going one direction with my business, and he was wanting to go another direction with his. And so finally what happened was together, which I'll always be grateful for, after it was 2016 and 2019. So 2019, I was actually able to quit my job at Quick Trip. So you're talking 13 years, corporate job, all the benefits. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to pull the plug. I'm training full time from here on out. So I started in 2019 training full time. And then I spent another 2 years doing that.
So you're working full time plus doing personal training on the side, filling your schedule, doing that, and finding time to work out on your own.
Yeah.
So it seems like you had this, like you said, your parents instilled this work ethic into you. So you didn't have like, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that. That's the difference between a lot of people who are successful and not, is that, you know, you're working full time and people go home and go, all right, well, I don't have time to do this, but you're taking all of your waking moments and your entire life energy and putting it into this thing that, you know, you really want to do on top of, you know, working full time, which, I mean, that's amazing, dude. A lot of people can't do that or won't do that, you know?
Honestly too, Steven, I would say won't. I really would say won't. And because the way I looked at it for that period of time, and don't get me wrong, you know, I was young, I'm 32 now, started that when I was, you know, 25. So it's like, I was younger and, you know, you full of energy, full of life, et cetera. But, you know, it wasn't really, I didn't really think about it that much. I just knew, okay, I've got a good job. I've been here long enough. I can kind of finagle myself around. Like, you know, I found jobs that would complement me getting off early. Before I left, I was able to really skate around hours and leave a little bit, take a little bit of breaks, go in late. You know, I was able to definitely work the system a little bit into my favor, but it was more of just like, yeah, like I know if I want to do this thing, these are the steps that I have to take. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't a conversation after that. You know, it just became, you got to do it if you want it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people nowadays want to have a conversation and they want it to, well, you know, if I can do it this way over here and do it this way over here, then it's perfectly balanced. And then I feel good about myself. Well, it's like, that's just not the reality of the situation. If you're somewhere and you want to be in a completely different place, like you've got to map that out and you've got to just follow that map. Because if you don't, then you're just going to be stuck in that same place. And I could have easily been stuck. My brother still works for Quick Trip. My dad still works for Quick Trip. It's an amazing company to work for. I could still be making probably the same, if not maybe a little bit more than I'm currently right now. You know, working for that company, but I just knew it wasn't for me. And so, I just put in the time, put in the energy, put in the hours. It helps to enjoy it. I obviously wasn't switching careers or something that was like, sound.
You didn't want
to
do.
Just like, okay, I want to do this. I think I can do it. I want to do it. And to be honest with you, man, it was kind of one of those things too, where, you know, I think we all grew up in that time where college was just kind of, college was the only way. It was, you got to go
drill down your throat. Boom, boom, boom.
Any other idea, any other, you know, option really was not available, because it was like, no, to be successful or to make money or whatever, college is the answer. And
now I feel so ass backwards to me, dude, because so many people get pointless degrees and don't do anything involving what they went to school for, and then they're doing something totally different that they, you know, so it's interesting. It's like you almost had that sense beforehand.
Yeah. And it was, and like I said, it kind of fell in my lap at that point. It was kind of just like, all right, I'm gonna do this thing. And it did help, you know. That was when Instagram was on the rise and social media was on the rise. So I got a lot of my exposure and things like that came from that. You know, during that time I was competing. So I did a bunch of like male modeling and things like that. So that brought in attention. Talk about things that, you know, you wish you could go back on, but,
that'll be one of the pictures I put up as the, how did that kind of come to be, the male was that just from winning competitions and then companies would approach you, or?
It's just social media. You know, I had a couple of local photographers out here that were like, hey man, it'd be cool to shoot. I got really lucky and got connected with some, you know, higher end photographers that, you know, had kind of like different audiences and stuff like that. None of it was really paid, but I never had to pay for it either. So anytime we took a trip or, you know, did a thing, like it was always paid for. You know, it was never really a money making thing. It was more of like an exposure thing. My thing was, as I was like, cool, this is free exposure. I'm not really losing anything out of it. If it can help boost up my business or anything like that, you know, I'll gladly take it. I like to consider myself like a man of experience, if you will. And I'm just like, you know what, fuck it. I'll just try it and see if it works out. And if it doesn't work out, I can always bail and do the next thing.
Yeah. You know? You don't know what you like unless you try it. Like there's so many things that I thought I wouldn't, like skydiving, for instance. I thought I would never go skydiving. I'm like, why the heck would I do that? And I had a friend that took me and like made me go. He picked me up at like 4 a.m. He's like, you're going. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And I did it and I ended up loving it. It was like it was totally different than what I expected. And then I ended up getting my license. So I had my A license for a little while and you know, learned how to actually skydive. And I'm like, how many other things am I just completely closed off to because I'm either scared of or just don't know? So that just kind of started making me try other things, you know, and try things that I wouldn't want or didn't think I wanted to do. So I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. And as I started to do that, I'm like, you know, I started realizing, oh man, I'm starting to grow. I'm starting to learn new things and starting to really figure out what I like and what I don't like. But if I never tried something, I don't know if I like it or not.
Yeah. You know? I can't believe you got your A license. That's so badass, man. That's something I've always wanted to do, but it never, you know, just took the time and energy to do it.
Yep.
Cause I figured, you know, skydiving is always one of those things that's on everyone's bucket list, you know, but that I always had in the back of my head. Cause I've done the tandem thing. I'm like, but is it really real until you jump out of the plane alone? You know,
it's like, so gnarly.
Badass. Do you still hold that? Or is that something
I haven't kept it current. I think the last time I went was probably like 2019, maybe 2020, or maybe maybe even early before that. So no, I had kids and stuff and I want to get my pilot license. That's my next thing. There's a private airport next to me that I'm going to start doing lessons on. So I do want to kind of go back into it eventually, but now it's just priorities change. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that I was able to do it when I did it, you know?
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that too, because priorities do change, man. And that's the thing is I was very fortunate, you know, as I was kind of coming up and in this industry is I had the availability, I had the time, I had the energy, I had the focus, you know, and so I dedicated all that to basically, you know, changing what would be my career, you know? And so just to jump back on track in 2021, I was like, I told my partner at the time, I was like, hey man, I think I'm going to be bouncing out and doing my own thing. You know, I can kind of tell that we're just kind of drifting a little bit. And I'm confident that I can do it on my own and I want to do it on my own. And he was like, yeah, man, I totally get it. I see where you're coming from. And so we parted ways. You know, it wasn't the cleanest break, but you know, you're running a business with people for 5 years, you know, it's just like, there's going to be those like little animosities underneath it all. But I was honestly happy to get out. It was the right time. I was able to take a couple trainers with me. We moved just down the road. I like a godsend, just this gym. I had one of the trainers I brought, his fiance at the time was like, hey, I found this gym. They're looking for trainers to rent space, you know, go check it out. It could be something. And so I went over there. The place was immaculate. It was well put together, just real clean. Everything that was in there was quality. It was nice. And I was coming from a good gym, but I'm like really nitpicky. And so like all just like little things, you know, it's like, this could be better. That could be better. This could be, you know, little things like that. And so that kind of always bothered me. That was one of the things that kind of moved me away from the previous gym. And so I stepped foot in here and I was like, I love this space, man. Like to myself, I was like, you know, I was like, I'm in, let's sign up. What do I got to do? You know, let's do it. So I started renting space for me and two other trainers. I just paid for them. I was like, hey, you guys come for me. I'll pay your rent. Let's build something, let's create a team. I think together that we can really, really build something kind of badass out of this spot. And they're like,
is that kind of how gyms do it? Is that normal for some, like they rent space out for trainers to put their clients into? I'm not sure how a gym works behind the scenes, you know, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, it happens a couple of ways. A gym will either open up and they will hire trainers to basically train under them, or a gym will hire independent contractors as trainers, and they will let them kind of run their businesses outside of their gym. So it just kind of really depends on the gym, the location, and then how the owner wants to run things. The nice part about renting space is that you're really hands off. So all you have to do is make sure that your trainers don't leave you, so they pay rent. You know, when you pay trainers, you got to make sure that their books are full. So it kind of depends where you want to work. Do you want to go find trainers, or do you want to go find people to train? Right.
Yeah,
so it
kind of
just depends, you know, how that person wants to run their business. This individual wanted to be completely hands off and just wanted people to help basically pay his rent and try and see if he couldn't make some money off the top end of that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so we spent a year doing that. We were able to grow, man. It's kind of one of those things where I always tell people, you gotta keep going. You just gotta keep going, because those are gonna the pursuit of something is always gonna open more doors.
Yeah.
It's like when we start to get in our own way and we start to stop and think and, you know, kind of slow down. It seems like the doors don't open as much. But as long as you're kind of like slowly chipping away, or you know, even light speed, it doesn't really matter how fast you go, as long as you're working towards something, you'll notice that those doors kind of open up, and you'll notice that you're creating more opportunity for yourself to be successful. And so basically leaving that gym allowed me to fully step in to be the trainer and to the business that I wanted to be. I had no more, you know, and no more hangups. If I wanted to do something, I could do it. If I wanted to try something, I could try it. I no longer had another image or name to worry about. It was all on. And so I started Volition outside of the other gym. And then we brought it over to this gym and started operating solely on our own. And then from there, after a year, we walked in the door October 2021. With I think it was 26 members, and then we ended last year 2022 at 85 members.
Okay, so are you in your own space now then?
So that's what I'm leading into right now. So what's cool about that is we did all of that while renting space. So we technically weren't our own gym yet. I wasn't advertising, this was literally all organic. I lost a trainer during that time, picked up another one, had one of our members who just happened to be super kick-ass, express interest. And she went to school for exercise science. She was like, I'm trying to get back in the training game. I absolutely love what you guys are doing here. How can I be a part of it? So I hired her on as a trainer as well to help me in some of my classes and things like that. So we got four trainers. And then what's funny is about a year after signing up there, I approached the owner and I was like, hey man, you know, it's been a year. We've grown pretty significantly. We were probably 85 to 90% of the traffic that was going through the stores. Yeah. So I was like, hey, you know, what's your plan? Cause I'm thinking in one more year, I'm going to be either looking for another location, you know, could I be interested in buying you out? Like, you know,
crazy.
what are you thinking? Like, you know, I love it here. You know, what are you trying to do? Cause the owner was just kind of like, he was there, he has a few people, but like, you can just tell his like heart wasn't really in the spot, you know? And so I asked him and he said, you know what? That's a great question. He's like, it's something that I've honestly been thinking about a lot lately. Give me a week. Let me get back to you and I'll have some options. So a week later, he comes back to me and he goes, I know you said a year, but what if you bought me out at the beginning of this coming year? And I was like, whoa, dude, like was like, I mean, we did pretty good last year, but like, I don't know about that. That's a lot, you know. It's like, because that was effectively going to be with rent and utilities, that was effectively going to quadruple my overhead. So
yeah,
it was something big to consider, you know. And, you know, as much as it sounded great, it's like, you know, it's also a big financial burden to consider. So he was like, because if not, what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to end up bringing another guy that I know, and he's going to bring a couple of trainers, and he's going to help me kind of make this place a little bit more profitable. And I was like, okay, fair. Because I was robbing him, man. I was paying like $1,500. It was $1,600 for us three training there. I mean, and when you're talking overhead wise, like that's basically my only overhead, you know?
Yeah.
It was highway robbery for my business. You know? But if he brought other people in, you know, and it made the gym busier, now he's kind of stepping on my toes, and now maybe I can't grow. And so I was like, all right, I got to figure out how I'm going to make this happen. And so, dude, try to ply in through, you know, if anyone's ever tried to do a loan through anything, whether it be a personal loan or auto loan or, you know, business loan, it's a pain in the ass, man. And so it was really hard to, we had just gotten a new house. You know, so we were doing all the, you know, getting everything in the new house. I've got two kids. And so it was a lot to try and get a business loan, but we were just plugging away. It went from, you know, getting everything set up in December to getting everything set up in January to hopefully having everything figured out by February.
Yeah.
Finally, we got everything figured out. I was able to scrape up some money, things like that. Had some people commit to really help me out, had some family help me out, which I'm super, super grateful for. Kind of opened up that doorway to get this process started. And honestly, the owner, just again, a godsend, you know, just creating the opportunity to help me succeed. He told me straight up, he was like, hey, man, from the moment you came in here, I knew like you were going to be something special. One thing I've always prided myself on is, you know, helping wherever I can. And so he actually, instead of me buying him out outright, he actually allowed me to kind of pay him a lump sum up front and then do like a year financing with him to actually be able to move the process along. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I was able to drum up like 18K, get him paid right away. And then January 31st of this year, I made that place my own. So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's
so awesome. Shortly after a year of walking in there, it's kind of one of those, you know, surreal. It's like the movie moment. You know, I walked in there. I was like, man, I'm going to own this place one day. Like, this is going to be my gym. And then a little after a year, it's like, it happened. It was like, that's holy cool. shit. It's like, you know,
but
and
there's probably so many times during that period where you wanted to quit, where, you know, you just thought maybe I should go back to Quick Trip. Maybe I should, you know, and the difference is there's just not quitting. You know, there's so many people that just quit at certain points because it's too hard or whatever. And I think maybe the military kind of gave you that, you know, overcoming adversity and kind of, you know, adapting to certain situations where you're like, okay, instead of quitting, I'm going to, you know, change a little bit here, move a little bit there and, you know, figure out a way to do it where, you know, there's a lot of people that just would go, well, it's too hard. Can't do it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was impossible, you know, it might as well have been at that point. But you know, what's funny is my work ethic is what drove it. Fundamentally what changed though in the past 2 years that really helped me kind of excel and keep moving forward is something that's called like abundance mindset. And it's a big like entrepreneurial thing to talk about. And people will, it's very easy to talk about, but it's something that when applied in practice is very, it's so much better mentally, because what happens is when you are, you know, I went from, you know, it wasn't crazy, but I was making like 60K a year at Quick Trip, like a great job. And, you know, it was not hard by any means, but when I, like my first year training 2019, solely training, I maybe made like 30 grand. Like I cut my pay in half. It was like, you know, it wasn't like I was doing it because I was just making a shit ton of money. It was like, I could do it. And so I did it. Right. And so it was like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep working, because if I can just keep working and keep kind of grinding it out a little bit, I think it will be better. I have all this mm-hmm. opportunity to grow. I have plenty of time in my schedule. You know, there's people I'm training now that are happy. And so I can keep doing this. So I kept chipping away, kept doing it. And as I got more into like the ownership space and like actually working with employees, I hired a mentor. And the biggest thing that they talk about is this abundance mindset. And when you're an entrepreneur and your money is on the line, you start penny pinching. You start worrying about where every dollar's going.
Yep.
And, you know, you start to become very scarce with your resources, because you're like, hey, man, tomorrow, if this shit falls through, like, I'm fucked. I have my house. I have my family. I have all these things that are relying on me. But what happens is that is very restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
So you start closing a lot of these doors that could be happening because you're too scarce with your resources. Yep.
I mean, too scared to grow. You don't grow that way. You stay stagnant. It's hard to grow if you're too scared to put any money into anything or try something because it might fail. Then you're just going to fail doing the same. You're not going to grow doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know? So
exactly. And so I just kind of lean into that abundance mindset. And, you know, apart from that, man, it's like, it's not magical. It's just like showing up every day. One of the biggest things that our members say to us is our ability to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And that blows my mind, because it's like, I hear some horror stories when it comes to gyms and trainers, people just not showing up, them coming in one day and the lights are just off. Trainers just not showing up on time for their sessions, like not just no longer communicating with people. It's like all these weird things. And really, our people just value and appreciate the fact that we show up, and then we show up motivated to, you know, help them become better. And so you kind of touched on it earlier, you know, we kind of do things, it seems like we do things a little bit differently, and we do, and I do it on purpose, because I come from a personal training background. I started as a personal trainer. Now we prioritize small group fitness. So in order to make that make sense, you have like a personal trainer, think of someone who would meet with someone one-on-one. Okay. And then you have some that will meet with like maybe like a semi-private group of like maybe two or three people at a time, or like they'll train a couple, right? That's primarily going to be your personal training space and what it looks like. Then you have your large group gyms, like think like CrossFit, F45, Orange Theory. They can be boutique-y, but you're still looking at 15, 20, 25, even 30 people in a group. And so what I was noticing is I always held like group classes, but my group was never that popular. So, because I was on my way up. So I had groups of like 8 to 10 people basically at my busiest. But then the most of my day was training like one-on-one people. And then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, well, one-on-one kind of sucks, because I got to find someone who's willing to spend $500 to $1,000 a month to make those hours worth it, right? Yeah. And then large group sucks, because I would have all these people coming in, maybe they're coming from CrossFit or F45 or something like that, and they're like, I like it, but I feel like no one even knows that I'm there.
Yeah.
It feels like I kind of like, you know, I'm not doing anything right, but no one's really correcting me. You know, different things like that. And everyone's gym different, but that's just kind of what I was getting, right? And so I was like, okay, interesting. So my groups have kind of been this like 8 to 10 space. I dig it. It's really manageable. I can help all these people out within an hour. And, you know, they're really happy. They get the group camaraderie. They get to see the same faces. You know, if you're missing class, you have other people in the group. They know when you're missing it because they feel it.
Yeah.
They're like, where the hell were you yesterday?
So many people don't realize that all you did was just solve a problem. You noticed a problem and you solved it. And that's what's making you successful, right? There was a problem. It's too not cost effective to do one-on-one. People don't get enough attention in bigger groups. Boom. Let's do a medium-sized group. And bam. Reinvent the wheel.
Exactly. And that's, and so we've been able to just kind of, from there, we just kind of tweak our programming. I spent about 2 years doing it myself, kind of like coming up with the concept, if you will, you know, just kind of seeing what it would look like. And then, and so now we do it. All my trainers pretty much follow the exact same, you know, format as I do. And so we all train. We have it about 6 to 8 people right now, each group. My goal is to get 10 per hour per trainer. So essentially what I like about that is if I got 4 trainers running at a time, I can have 40 people in the gym, but it doesn't feel like there's 40. It feels like there's 40 people, but you feel like you're working with your trainer.
Yeah.
Only so you get the energy that an F45 has or a CrossFit gym has, but you get the attention that a personal trainer will give you. So we're kind of just merging those two worlds together,
and you're building a community. You know, there's so many gyms where it's just like you just go in and everyone's a mindless zombie doing their own thing. So you're not only you're making a need or fitting a need, you know what I mean, you're building a community of people who can actually go and feel that sense of camaraderie and stuff. Like that's a lot of the issue with people getting out of the military is they lose that sense of purpose or that camaraderie and feel like you're kind of filling that in the civilian side where people don't even realize like that's a need that they have.
Yeah. And they might not even realize that they need it. They've never experienced it before. So it's great, man. And like I said, because it is that small group feel, it's like people get to know each other really quickly and they see the same people coming around their hours as well. So they're bumping elbows with people. And because it's only another 6 to 8 people, it's easy to kind of recognize and remember those people who come around.
And they motivate each other. It's motivational. You know, you don't feel like you're the only one pushing your own fitness goal. Like you have other people lifting you up.
Exactly. 100%. And the biggest thing for us at our gym is effort is everything, man. And so we'll tell people every day, hey, if you're like, our program is actually only 4 days a week. We're only open 4 days a week right now. Someday it might change. My ongoing joke with that is I've never had a person ask for a fifth day.
So, I like that.
Someone does, you know, we're gonna keep running our 4 days a week. But because of that, what we did is we got people to understand you're buying into our program. You're buying into how we do things. So forget everything that you may have done before, or you may know, you know, is group fitness. This is how we do things. And if you align yourself with this program, you will see success like these other people before you. So it's a big buy-in. And it can be kind of hard sometimes, you know, getting those new people.
To retrain a customer? Yeah. That's hard.
But
like self-checkout. Use this self-checkout.
That's the best part about the business side of things. You start to really learn these things. You have to kind of understand like, hey, the barrier to entry is going to be bigger because you're having to educate people as well. And educating consumer can be really hard, right? So So, but it's just something, I always said, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it the way I want to do it. It feels right. I'm not doing it like in a stubborn way. It's like, I'm not watching all these people fail and they're like, oh no, I got it. It's like, no one's really doing this. The people who aren't doing it at an organized enough level and systematic enough for it to really create an impact and create like a business out of it. And so I said, fuck it. I'm going to just do it myself. I'm going to do it the way that feels right because everything I've done so far has felt right and it's worked out. Maybe it's taken a couple of tweaks here and there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we're just fucking full sending it. And I got about 3 more years left on this contract. I was able to buy out the existing lease and all the existing equipment. So essentially I got a turnkey operation, which is, when you're talking about opening up a gym, you cannot ask for more than that because paying equipment is so fucking expensive. So I got a turnkey operation. I'm going to run this bitch into the ground for 3 years and try and blow out the walls and stuff it with as many people as we can. We're currently now, so like I said, we ended the year last year at 85 people. We now have 106 members. So we've grown even since then. And so if I can finish the year out at 150, you know, closing in at 150 members, that's like the big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yeah.
For the end of the year, then we have room to expand in there a little bit. So we're operating about 4,000 square feet. I can knock down some walls and get us at about 5,000 square feet. And then that will give us a nice little idea of what we're going to do next. So,
and this all stemmed from literally you committing to making a change, right? Yep. And that's all it is that decision. I'm going to change my behavior or change this right now and stick to it. There's so many people that are just so, they want to do something, but they're either scared to make the change or just they're comfortable in their situation. So it's like, well, I don't want to take a pay cut and, you know, or risk failing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So many people. And I think, too, that's just how you view failure. Failure, you can fail forward. You know, if you fail, just tweak. Like you said, you're making tweaks. You're not, you don't know. You didn't come into this knowing the formula. You have to tweak it. You have to figure it out. So you're just taking the punches, taking the hits and rolling with it and figuring out what works. You know, and just stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah. And it's funny that you said it, that I just did a change because, you know, obviously I got out of the military in 2014 and I didn't really start this, you know, like venture or this idea of being a personal trainer, or being a coach until 2016. And so between 2013 and 2016, like, people like to think, you know, you join the military and you become like this, like, you know, superhuman at times, but I also like started smoking. I was in the guard and partying on my free time. So like, it's not like I was active duty, especially PT at 6 a.m. Like I was basically a piece of shit, like for 20 days a month and then spent,
you know, military is just the most physically fit smokers in the,
So I was like, I was in a good place. And then 2013, I was like, I got to get my shit together, dude. And like, I watched all my friends kind of getting in shape and taking care of themselves. And so beginning of 2013, I was like you said, simple, make a change. And so I got back into shape that whole year. And that's kind of when I was like living this like lifestyle of being fit. And then 2015 is when I was kind of rubbing elbows with my buddy and he was talking about training people more. And he was like, that's when he was like, you should come through. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm fit. I play the part. Right.
Yep. And so,
yeah. From there, it just like grew. So it's literally just like making that little change of just like, you know, I was always wanting to be physically fit, but you know how it is, like you said, your priorities change. And so for a few years, that was not my priority. And I realized, okay, I got to make this change. And making that change literally led into a career. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there's so much I could, you know, talk for hours about all the little things that happened and all the people that, you know, I came in contact with during that time that ultimately helped me become this person to be a business owner. But to your point, and to simplify it all, it's really the stick-to-itiveness. It's just not saying, like you said, it's failing forward, man. If you're pursuing anything and you don't, like, you're, first of all, get the idea of you being successful right away out of your head immediately. And once you do that, if you even accomplish a percentage of what you were trying to do, that's a fucking win, baby.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's appreciating those small wins too. It's appreciating those little things that you do that make a big difference in your business or even a small difference. It's just, I don't know. So many people just are so quick to quit. You know, it's if it doesn't go their way the first moment, then boom, I'm done. You know, it's I don't know. And that's the difference between a successful business owner or a successful entrepreneur and not. It's just not giving up. You don't give up.
Yeah. And it's being okay with that. You know, you gotta, it's like having the humbleness, if you will, to just be like, yeah, I'm going to probably eat it. But it's like, education. Like, I think that's what people don't realize. It's like, you're just learning. Like anytime you learn anything new, you don't get it right away. So if you're just doing that, you're just learning. Every time you fail, it's another layer of education. And it comes, when you're working for yourself, it comes back and pays dividends, because I spent a whole year trying to figure out how to build and execute and run my own website. And now I just have somebody else. I pay somebody else to do that.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
yeah, effectively, I probably could have had someone do that at the start. But the only way I even know that they're doing it, you know, quote unquote, correctly, is because I spent a year trying to figure it out myself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never a waste. You know, you can't fail when you're constantly learning and applying, you know. And people nowadays, they, you know, like you said, they just kind of give up, and they, unfortunately, we're all kind of creatures of habit. And so we end up leaning into the path of least resistance.
Yes.
And when you're clearing rooms, path of least resistance, great.
Yeah.
When you create a life and create a career, path of least resistance,
you don't grow. You don't grow. You grow through the discomfort. The discomfort is growth. You know, and when you don't feel comfortable, and that's, like I said, like with the skydiving thing, if I didn't go and do that, or even joining the military, you know, I had no inkling on joining the military. It happened very by accident, you know, just a recruiter ended up finding me, getting me at the right time, and just ended up being the
and signed your name, you know?
Yeah. Ah. but dude, it like ended up being the best decision I ever made. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of taking the opportunities that are presented to you, even if it wasn't an opportunity or something you were thinking about. Like, you got to know when there's an opportunity there, and instead of shutting it down because you're scared, like, dude, just fucking go for it. Try it.
It's amazing how many people I think as we get older, you start to realize how many people make decisions that are based out of fear.
Yes.
And I think the problem is that people, it's valid. But yeah, like, I mean, it's scary. Like, for many different reasons, things can be scary. Like I said, I basically cut my pay in half. Yeah, that's frightening.
Fucking scary.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, and I can't, you know, I think the hard part is when people do it, it's easy to be like, yeah, that's where I was and I'm here now. But it's like, you have to, that's ultimately just listening to yourself and saying, you know, maybe you should do it because it is scary. Because mm-hmm. then when you make that decision, like, you know, the decision to cut your pay in half, you know, you have to work now.
Oh, yeah.
You have to kind of remove some of those safety nets. And when you start removing some of those safety nets, you start operating at a
sink
whole
or swim, baby.
You operate at a whole different level, man. And it's like, yeah, you can say it takes a certain type of person or a certain type of grit or what mindset or whatever, but it's like, but we're all kind of hardwired the same for the most part, right? So it's like, if you have that sink or swim, like, it's gonna come no matter what. And there's very few people who are satisfied with sinking. Like, yeah. So you're gonna swim a lot more than you think you will, you know? And so, you know, I don't know. It's like, I'm stubborn, so it helps. Like, you know, I've always kind of had, I don't have like a chip on my shoulder per se, because there's not one instance or one moment or like one person I'm necessarily like sticking it to. But, you know, growing up, like I said, my parents wanted me to do the college route. I haven't done that. So that's some little extra motivation to be mm-hmm. successful on my own. Wasn't the coolest kid in school all the time. So, you know, to kind of come out, you know, 10, 15 years later and be able to find success on my own self, you know, by my own, you know, merit is, you know, kind of sticking into that a little bit, right? So it's like, didn't make some sports teams, so being able to be successful elsewhere, you know, it's like those little things, right? You got to kind of find where that motivation is. And so that stubbornness to just want to be successful and realizing that I don't fit a lot of the preconceived molds that, you know, might work for a lot of other people. It's like, when you start to realize that, you're like, okay, well, I might have to work a little bit harder, but it is possible and it is out there. Mm-hmm. And so, fuck it. I'm just going to bet on myself and, you know, hope for the best.
Dude, that is awesome, man. Your mindset is perfect, dude. You got like, it seems like you're in a really good spot and you're making a difference too in people, in how people perceive working out and how, you know, like I'm sure they go happy and to see their friends, you know, they make bonds, and it's not just like, I got to go work out and you're just by yourself with some headphones on, you know, you're in a group, you got support. You're like I said, you're building a community, not just a gym.
We're doing shit together. And I think that's like the best part about the gym, right? Is you go do something hard, you survive, you come out a little bit better, you come out feeling accomplished too. It's because people always will be like, oh, well, the gym, you know, in order to see results, it takes time. It's like, fuck yeah, of course it takes time. But the immediate feeling of doing something really fucking hard and challenging yourself, the endorphins that come from that, like, that is not to be, you know, discredited at all. Yeah. Like, I see people, you know, there's nothing better than someone who thinks, like, you know, maybe they've never worked out before, or maybe it's been a really long time, and you're able to change their complete view of themselves and what working out is. They're like, man, I thought people just did this to look a certain way. It's like, yeah, it's definitely a component of it. But I mean, I'll be honest, like, even coming from a bodybuilding background, like, my gym now, like, we obviously want you to look good, but that is a result of the effort and tension and energy that we put in day to day. And it's more of a metaphor of life, and that's cliche and cheesy, but it's fucking real, man. Like, yeah, if you've done anything physically hard, you can recall back and be like, yeah, damn, and I was really happy that I made it out, you know?
I did that, bro. I fucking did that.
Yeah, I did that. I did that. And so now I'm grateful because of that, you know, that work ethic. I've done many hard, you know, boot camp is hard. I've hiked north to South Rim and the Grand Canyon. And like, I think I did it in like 10 and a half hours. And so it's like, you know, which sounds really cool, by the way, but it's like, when you're hiking the Grand Canyon, and you feel really fucking cool about yourself, there's a guy coming in right behind you running it. So it's like, you know, like, you know, there's always someone out there doing something a little bit harder and a little bit better.
You're like, this fucking guy. Yeah. All right, David Goggins.
Yeah. Just the daily Goggins they have out there. It's just nuts. But
Oh, yeah.
I love doing hard shit and being able to show people, you know, what they're capable of doing physically. You know, especially the people that you never would expect it from, whether it be women or just, you know, men who've never even lifted anything or done anything physical in their life, right? You know, being able to expose those people to it. You know, one of the things we focus on is we want people to become more athletic. Like, a lot of us there at the gym have athletic backgrounds. Like, I grew up playing basketball. I actually still play rec ball. I'm an adult men's league, and I still pick up, you know, play pickup games. One thing I realized when I got older is I was missing that. I was missing that level of competition. I don't have that anymore. You know, the Army kind of fills that a little bit, because they kind of have you compete against yourself and compete against other people in your platoon and your company. And, you know, the companies compete against each other. You know, there's some level of competition there. But after that, I realized, I was like, fuck, dude, after bodybuilding, I had no more competition, and I didn't want to look for like new forms of competition. I was like, I miss playing sports, dude. And I was feeling good playing sports. And so that's ultimately how we designed our gym. All of our training is built to help people move better. And our little saying is, we want to bring out the athlete that's inside of you, because I mean, we're not that far removed from our, you know, ancestors. Like, everyone can be a physical being. I understand that, you know, if you've never been active your entire life, it definitely feels like it's impossible, but the body is an incredible machine. It's highly adaptable, and you can be in the best shape of your life in a month before you even know it, you know? And so, you know, being able to introduce that to people and give people that outlet to move better and feel better, to accomplish the things that they want to in life, whether that be a physical hobby or, you know, kind of like you and I, that we're parents now, and just being, you know, having the energy and vigor to be able to keep up with that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're trying to do. It's, you know, we call it lifestyle performance training. So whatever you're trying to do in your life, We want to be able to help you and supply you with the training to be able to accomplish that. So we're not the gym that you go to 6 days a week. We're not going to make you work out two a days. We're not going to make, none of what we do is unrealistic. That's why I do 4 days a week. Cause I want people to understand, hey, if you just do this 4 days a week for 1 hour, it's going to be hard. There's going to be days that are shitty. It's gonna make you question your abilities, but if you consistently show up week in and week out, you will get better and you will realize that this is so much more accessible to you than you could ever imagine.
Dude, that's such a, that whole model, dude, I love it so much. That's so cool. And I was just thinking about how we even came into contact. Cause I think it's the most random, it's like such a cool thing. Cause so one of my friends is friends, his wife is friends with your wife.
Yes.
And we're from upstate New York and they're in Arizona. And I have friends that the owner of Yoga Democracy, one of the owners, I lived with in South Carolina. He was my roommate, and in Florida, I lived with him for like 4 or 5 years. So it's so funny that he just called me. He's at your house in Arizona. He's like, hey, what was the name of your friend's business? I'm like, oh, Yoga Democracy. He's like, dude, I'm with some guy that owns a gym here that's doing an event with them this weekend. Yeah. You know, it's so random.
So random, especially being like disconnected through the states too. It's just such a,
yeah,
just a small world. But that's like another, that's just another, light towards that opportunity, right? It's just, yeah, you know, like we had an open house for the gym. We're looking for people. And, you know, my fiance, she just like, it's so weird. One of our members of the gym knows one of the girls, I think it's Haley, that runs it.
Yep.
And so they were like, yeah, let me put you in contact. Maybe they'll be there. Maybe they won't. Who knows? And I was like, hey, screw it. You know, I'm just trying to open up opportunities for people if they want to be there. And yeah. And so, and then they sit down there. He goes, yeah, I actually know somebody that owns that, I think. And I was like, what are you seeing? Like, what are you talking about? We were literally in town for like 5 days. It was just so random.
That's so great. Yeah,
there's opportunities.
That's so funny. So did your wife like grow up with Danielle, or how did she from New York?
Yeah, so fucking talk in that even smaller world. That's what's so funny. She actually was previously married, and her husband was stationed at Fort Drum.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
They met through CrossFit. They've just been friends ever since. They've been super close and they've been friends ever since, stayed in contact. And they come out here, like Alex's dad is from out here.
Yep.
And so they come out here every now and then. And this just happened to be a time that they were coming out.
That's so funny,
weekend as the open house. And so that's why all this came up. And yeah, and so now we're here. So it's just crazy.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
But dude, I think what you have going on is so cool, and I love that you're really taking a different approach to the gym. And it feels like you know, I said before, like you have such a community of people who just, that's probably the highlight of their week. You know what I mean? They're improving themselves physically, they're challenging themselves mentally. And they have support system. You know, there's so many people that just don't have that. They don't have people that care if they show up or not. I'm sure if Billy Bob doesn't show up that one day, everyone's like, is he okay? What's going on? You know, like you notice, you know. But if there's people that could be in a quote unquote normal style gym and go there every single day and not even notice if 5-10 people don't show up, you know.
Exactly. And you know, and that's what's just kind of cool about, like you said, it is the community aspect of it. It's like, I think it's harder and harder nowadays sometimes in person. You know, we all have our digital spaces where we kind of find common ground, but in person, there's not many opportunities to find other people who are doing something similar that also has stuff going on, right? Because like the gym doesn't have to be your whole life, but when you're in there together, you're kind of doing that hard thing together. And then you realize how many other people are trying to do that, right? Yeah. And that's a really powerful thing to be able to actually be personally connected with people working towards something as like a community, you know? And it's, we're starting to get, it seems like we're starting to get further and further away from it. And so being able to run a business that, you know, is kind of promoting that and pushing that just feels great. Because I mean, the, another running joke I have is I see more, I see those people more than they see a lot of their friends and family. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, having kids for me, it's like, you know, I'm lucky if I get to see, you know, a handful of my friends once a month, you know, because just have, you know, we just got, everyone's got shit going on, you know, it's not anything personal. It's just, we all have priorities and things that we got going on. And so to be able to see someone 2, 3, 4 times a week, pretty much every week, you're seeing those people more than they see anybody else, you know, in their life. And so that becomes very powerful over time. And what's cool about that is their week might be made coming in, but being able to be a trainer like one of my coaches are, or being able to be the owner, it's equally as powerful in my direction, because those people will come in and it makes my day better. It makes my weeks better, because I might not want to go in that day, or I might be having a hard business week or home week or whatever, right? And it's like, and then interacting with my members, because we're growing a community, that actually makes my days and my weeks better too. So it's like this little ecosystem almost where we are truly all supporting each other, where, you know, a lot of people sign up for personal training because they're looking for the support, but you know, it kind of comes for a circle sometimes. Yeah. People end up supporting us just by simply showing up and, you know, working hard. But sometimes they show up, you know, they support us because they might know a guy that solves a problem for us.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they, you know, they might have that one little piece of advice, or might be in that one little industry that I might need help in, right? So it's just, it becomes this really cool ecosystem. And that's what's really kind of badass about being a small business, is because you're interacting with so many people. You know, we think of communities now in a digital space, or like communities that we create, but we still have our broad community, our neighborhoods, our, you know, our cities, you know, our states, right? So we have like actual communities of people that are coming together physically in space that have connections. And you'd want to talk about a small world, dude. I'll have people sign up at my gym and they'll run into someone at a different hour and they'll be like, oh my God, I didn't know you worked here. And they're like, oh, how do you know each other? Oh, that's my sister's best friend, or
yeah,
worked together 2 years ago at such and such. And you're just like, you know, community becomes so much more broad. Like the word community becomes so much more broad over time. Mm. And you realize, oh man, like I'm like touching different areas. And as a business owner, it's really cool, because then you realize, wow, the potential for this, you know, as long as we do continue to do things right by, you know, our members, this has long lasting implications. We can create something truly awesome. You tie that into doing something a little bit different and a little bit more unique, and a little bit more member focused. Now, ideally, we have the recipe to create something truly special.
Yeah.
Serves not just our community, but obviously, hopefully, my family and the, you know, the people that I employ as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're making people feel that, like they're not just a number, not just a subscription. They're not just another body in the gym to make money. You're there with them and helping them along their journey. And that's awesome, dude. I love it. I didn't realize, because I noticed that just looking through your website and stuff like that, I'm like, man, this doesn't seem like a normal gym. You know, it seems like they really have such a tight knit group of people, and like even just the social media aspect and stuff. Like, I was like, well, this is just an interesting thing. So now that you've really broken it down, like it's even better than, you know, what I was reading. You know, it's great. I love it. I love it so much.
That's so cool. I really appreciate that, because, you know, when your head's in the book, if you will, it's hard to tell, you know, the outside influence all the time. So it's cool to be able to get that type of feedback, because, you know, you want to think you're great. You know, you want to think you're right. But it's hard to tell sometimes how it actually is perceived. So I definitely am grateful for that. So
yeah, you can see, like I said, you can see it from just even looking online, looking at your socials and stuff, and it, you know, you're just like, this doesn't seem like a normal gym. It just doesn't have that. You know, I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but I just knew like it was different.
Oh, that's, and it's funny because one of the things, one of the taglines I love using is experience the difference, because that's really what we want people to do. It's like, we're not big. I'm, you know, in a world full of marketing, man, it's just like everyone's a marketing genius nowadays, you know. And at the end of the day, like, our product really speaks for itself, and I just want people to come in and check it out. And because at the end of the day, if you vibe with it, then we're going to see some success, and you're probably going to be another kick-ass member of our community. And if you don't vibe with it, that's totally cool too. And, you know, I'll happily point you in a direction where I think is a good, you know, where I think it would be a good fit for you. Kind of the, one of the benefits of being in the industry, you kind of know, you know, of other places and other people and stuff like that. But, you know, that's really the key, right? Is harboring that and then being able to kind of, you know, grow in that and being able to say no to some people and knowing who you, you know, really want to, you know, cultivate that community with. Because if you just try and let everybody in, you're not going to get that feeling.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In a part of gyms that try to get everybody in, and business is business, but it's just not. Business is such a, you know, it's a living and breathing thing. It really is, as corny as that may sound. But you got to cultivate your culture. You got to cultivate what your, you know, business wants to be. And I really firmly believe that no matter what your business is, I mean, hey, if you're just selling a pure product, it's like, you still have a culture, you still have a target, right? And so you got to be able to recognize that, and foster it, because the more that you can do that, the more you're going to serve the people who are already, you know, bought in, the more that they're going to talk about it, the more it's going to spread. Yep. You know, over time, because
word,
I mean,
mouth.
Yeah, don't think about it. I, you know, I'm, like I said, marketing, there's ads, there's all, I know all these things, there's all these things that you can do to grow your business, but nothing compares to having someone talk so well about your business to another person that's within their circle or their community.
Yep.
And I'm really grateful, because a lot of the members that we get are from circles of other members that we already have. And not only does that build a reliable client base, which helps keep our, you know, personal, but then business income consistent, it also just builds such a rock solid referral network that when mm-hmm. you know people are coming in, you know that you already know they're going to be a good addition, and you don't have to, you know, coach them up and everything like that to kind of convince them, you know, that this is the, you know, the thing for them. So
yeah, their friend already did it. They did all the hard work for you.
Exactly. And that's really what it is too. Cause I mean, I'm not sure, you know, how much you experience, how much experience you have in, you know, selling things, but selling something to an uneducated consumer is so incredibly difficult in this, yeah. in this world now, because people are being sold something.
What do you mean? I can only come 4 days a week. What?
Yeah.
I work with it. What? I don't understand.
you only have to come 4 days. But yeah, it's, and now that I'm living it, it's like, I love it, man. I don't want to go back. Even if for some reason I were to fall flat on my face, I would just figure out something else to do. I'm definitely starting to step into the business owner role. Like, for the longest time, I was a personal trainer trying to build a book of business. Now I'm a business owner trying to, you know, fill a gym, and I still coach, and, you know, I still have my classes, I still have my clients. But, you know, more importantly, I shouldn't say more importantly, but you know what I'm saying. More importantly, now it's like, I got to grow the business so that way this can be a lasting, you know, entity, if you will, like over time, both for my employees and myself.
When did you feel that shift, that like from, you know, from like a, that business owner mentality, when did you feel that, like, that shift happened? Cause I mean, it all seems very quick, that all this has happened, and you know, it's 2023 now, and you kind of took it over, what, 2021, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't probably right away that you had that turn, you know, something change in your mindset. Like, how was there a moment where you were like, huh, I don't think like a employee anymore? Like,
I think it kind of arose out of necessity. It was, you know, I've had my head in like the entrepreneurial space, because when you're a personal trainer, even when you're working for someone, your book is still your book. And so you still kind of got to like, you got to be hungry, and you still have to create conversations. You still have to create connections in order to grow your business. And so I think some of it was always kind of understanding that it was there. Mm. I think it ultimately came out because it was like, hey, if you don't change your mindset, you will not have a business. You will just be self-employed. Because still currently, don't get me wrong, I'm still self-employed, very much so. Like, I saw this great quote, like, if you can't leave your business for 90 days, then you're not an entrepreneur. And I was like, like, that's like, I've been out for like a little over a week now, and I consider that like incredible, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I know that if, God forbid, something happened, I had to be out for a month, I'm pretty confident I could get away with 1 month. But after a month, you know, my members would be like, well, where's Derek? Like, I kind of joined the gym for Derek, you know? Mm. And so it's like I said, it became a necessity. It was a little bit, I got a mentor this last September, and they really drive home the business side of things. And so they keep that in the forefront for me, which is great, because I'm also very much a tactician. Like, I still love the training, the programming, the interaction, the day-to-day stuff. Like, I'll pick up a rag and some window cleaner. Like, I love that stuff. Like, you know, being in the business is great. But what they made me realize was, and shout out to Big Little Gyms, that's the mentorship group I'm a part of. And they help gyms across the entire country and now world help improve their business. But they just do it so authentically. And so they just give you the tools, man. They don't like sugarcoat it. They're like, this is the person you have to be just be successful. And we'll help you work on being that person. But ultimately, like, that shit's up to you. Like, here's all the tools. Like, these are the tools. Like, you can find these tools anywhere. We'll get them set up for you. We'll help you. We'll, you know, we'll make them operational for you. But ultimately, you got to be in the mindset of working on yourself,
yeah,
understanding where your strengths and weaknesses are. And then from there, you get a better understanding of how that relates to working on your business, because most of us spend so much time working in our business, it's hard to even comprehend what working on a business is. Because you got to be the administrator, you got to be the manager, you got to be the facility manager, you got to be in contact with the landlord and the utilities. So you got to wear all these damn hats. You know? But you have to understand, like, am I even good at that? Do I even want to do that? Right. So really being able to shift that focus and having a mentor helps keep that in the forefront of my mind. Like I said, I think it was always kind of in there in the background a little bit, because I was just never one to really like subscribe to the system. Even in the military, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do everything I know I have to, so I don't get bitched at.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to navigate those fine lines to keep doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
A part of me doing my own thing was kind of always a part of me. But finally reaching out, understanding that I do need help because I don't know everything, and getting that mentor, that's what really unlocked that. Like, no, you're a business owner, and to be a business owner, you've got to operate a certain way. And if you can continue to operate that way, you will be able to take what you've been able to make successful and grow that to beyond what you even imagined. Mm-hmm. Successful. And to kind of cap that last little question off, is what's really been awesome about that for me is now I don't just look at my business as like being a business owner. Now I look at the world completely differently, and I start looking at it from a place of, man, I could potentially be in business in anything.
Mm.
If I found the right product and the right thing and worked with the right people. Like, You know, like I said, even if I fell flat on my face today, I'm confident I could figure something else out and create another business, you know, inside that or out of that, if you will. So it's a cool feeling to be able to have that. Cause like you said, you know, you'll fail forward. So even like, God forbid, if everything that I started here failed, that would just be the learning experience.
That was your college.
Yeah, exactly. For the next thing.
You learned way more than you would have paying $50,000 for college.
Yep. And I learned way more doing that than just sticking with my same job that I have for, you know, last 10 to 13 years prior. So,
dude, that's awesome. Well, man, we've been going for about an hour and a half now. Is there anything you want to touch on? I know, right? It goes quick, right?
Well, I just appreciate you, you know, reaching out to me and extending me the opportunity to kind of talk about, you know, my business and everything we've been able to accomplish and giving me that, like I said, that awesome feedback. You know, you can't hear it enough when you're trying to grow something, you know, you want to sort of check marks those boxes, and to have that kind of, you know, impact from just a website or an Instagram is, it's a cool feeling. So I just appreciate the opportunity to be here and kind of talk about my, you know, my journey, if you will. And I don't know, whenever I've kind of done a couple of these things now, and, you know, I just hope that, you know, if someone's either in the midst of it or at the beginning of it, or just, you know, in the middle of it and they're kind of grinding their gears a little bit, just to, you know, just to know that they could just keep going. Reach out for help if they need it or whatever. Just like, just keep going, man. And if you're that confident in yourself and that belief is that strong, there's probably something there, and you'll never regret being 70, 80, 90 years old.
Yes.
And just doing, working for yourself and trying to create something.
Yeah. You're never going to be 90 and go, man, I wish I didn't try to do that. Yeah. You're going to be like, I wish I tried to do that, you know, or did this.
I had a fear it would be just not trying enough, doing enough, you know? Cause man, if there's one thing that ever scared the shit out of me is like being that 40, 50 or 60 year old waking up and being like, man, what happened to my life? Like I don't want to be that person, you know? Yeah. So I will pull my hair out and get all the early morning anxiety I can. I'm not that person.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you, you know, and your story and what you're doing. And I think it's great. Send me any links, anything you want me to add in the description or anything. And then I'll make sure to put the most embarrassing photo I can find as the I wouldn't do that to you.
The worst part about that is you could, and it probably wouldn't be that hard. That's the worst part about it. And I wish there was a way I could like fucking hide all those, but I don't think I can.
I'm gonna Photoshop your face on Marky Mark's face when he's doing the behind the chain link fence.
I'll take that all day. That would probably be better than what you would have gotten. Yeah, outside of that, you know, if you guys are interested in checking out the gym, we do offer online programming at an affordable rate as well. So they can check out the Instagram at Train Volition. That's on Instagram, or jump on the website at volitiontraining.com.
Awesome. Hey, thank you again. And yeah, man, as always, go duck yourselves, guys.